Well, hello there, and welcome to my almost midlife crisis. I'm your host, Jennifer Mathis. This podcast is about that time in your life when you're no longer young, but you sure are not old yet either. It's the first episode of 2022. What? How did that happen? How is it January already? But, you know, it's that time of year when we are setting goals and resolutions and we're optimistic that we're going to keep them. In today's episode, we're going to discuss how to turn resolutions into achievements by the end of the year. So if you're ready to make a change, then this one's for you. Okay, so it's time for New Year's resolutions. And as a marketer, this time of year, we call it New Year, New You. In fact, that's almost it's almost like a trigger because we have all been asked at some point by a client, it's like, what's the plan for New Year, New You? Like, it's almost like a season. They were to like spring break, there's also New Year, New You. But it's this time of year when you're going to see ads for gym memberships and weight loss programs and low-fat foods, dietary supplements. Like all of these things are taking center stage because, well, marketers take full advantage of this time period when people have good intentions and they're willing to pull out the pocketbook in hopes of reaching their goals, which I realize after saying that saying pocketbook probably just aged me. Like if you were to ask a 23-year-old, like, do you have your pocketbook? They were like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what's a pocketbook? Is that like a Kindle I put in my back pocket? Like, no, it's a wallet. Okay. I don't know why, because as females, have we ever been able to like just have our pocket, like our wallet in our pocket? No, it's in our purse. But pocketbook it is. And in fact, it reminds me of, I was doing a Peloton ride with Robin Arzon the other day, and she was talking about how she saw this TikTok where this Gen Zer had taken an iPod Shuffle and, you know, those iPod Shuffles. So not the big expensive iPod, not like the one that held like 1,000 songs. It was like the smaller one that had the built-on clip on the back. It was like a little square and you can clip it on like your belt, like a beeper. Yeah, I'm going full 90s on this. Okay. So they used it, like they didn't know what it was. So they used it as a hair clip, Like something that we thought was so technologically advanced, they saw and was like, what other use could this be other than a clip for my hair? God, that really makes me feel old, sad, and yet nostalgic all at the same time. Anyway, it's also why you see an uptick in, and this is a fact that, you know, something to watch out for, you're going to see some subscription savings like deals. Right? Because marketers know that at the beginning of the year, you're more willing to sign up for a long-term commitment because you're still optimistic that you're going to do it, you're going to follow through, than you are going to be in the middle or end of the year. So you're going to see a lot of options for savings if you sign up for a year going on right now. So keep an eye on that. And in fact, some businesses like gyms really bank off of this. And listen, I'm just going to speak from the one gym that was my client years and years and years ago. And in fact, I don't even think they're in business anymore, which had nothing to do with me. I just like to say they were in big financial problems prior, but they used to like bank on the fact that they wanted people to sign up and they would make it kind of difficult to get out of your gym membership because they knew that people would just, and it was like just low enough where people, it's not like an Equinox membership where you're spending like $250. It was cheaper. And they would just kind of bank off the fact that it wouldn't be big enough where people wouldn't really notice, but then they would just stop going. So therefore they weren't wearing down the equipment, but they were still paying on a monthly basis. It was like a win-win situation for them. But anyway, so watch out for that. Be careful if you're signing up for a subscription, and make sure it's something you actually really want to do for the rest of the year. So why are people making resolutions, right? So some of the most common ones are around physical health, like eating better, exercising more, quitting smoking. Others are around self-improvement, like trying to be more mindful or meditating more, volunteering, maybe learning a new skill. That's why you'll also see increases in ads around things like Masterclass. Yeah, it's not a coincidence. And don't all of these sound great? I mean, honestly, if we could just be more successful at these, wouldn't society be in a much better place? Like, just think about it. If people were sleeping better and more mindful and meditating more and volunteering more, like, could you imagine how much better our world would be? Like, maybe we wouldn't have such a need for the massive increase in recreational marijuana. I mean, listen, and nothing against it. Like, go for it. You want to do that? Like, do it. I have nothing against it. But, like, just imagine the angriest person you know, if they were to be, like, meditating on a regular basis, like, imagine how much less angry they would be. And as consumers, we have this love-hate relationship with resolutions, right? We love to make them, but we have trouble keeping them. Like, after only 1 week, 25% of us have already broken our resolutions. 25%, guys. Like, that's not good. 1 week. 1 week. Like, I know we could do better than that. And after 6 months, only 46% of people are still keeping their resolution. It's a 54% drop off in 6 months. That's not good. But what's worse is only nine. That's one digit percent of Americans who make resolutions feel that they are successful in keeping them. And listen, I know I said Americans there, like I have some comparison against other countries, and I don't know how we compare. Maybe we're better. Maybe 9% is a good thing compared to somewhere else. I don't know, but it doesn't sound great. And I feel like there's room for improvement. So why are people failing? Well, some of the top causes of failure are setting unrealistic goals, or not keeping track of progress, or forgetting the resolutions. And let's just pause there for a second. Just forgetting the resolution. Like, how committed are you to this resolution if you just like forgot about it? Like, it's clearly not top of mind if that's the case. On the flip side, some people have failure because they're making too many of them, which maybe in that case, maybe if you made like 50 resolutions and you forgot one of them, like, okay, maybe I could see that. And I have to say, I am totally one of those resolution people. Like, I'm into it. I'm into the resolution thing. Hell, I started this podcast, which is pretty much a lot about creating positive change. And it's not just at the top of the year, but it's all the time. Like, I'm a goal person. I would almost consider myself addicted to goals. And if you know me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I know it sounds crazy if you don't know me, but it's kind of true. Like, I always have some goal I'm working on. Like, maybe I'm training for a marathon, or I'm doing Dry January, or I'm eating Whole30, or like when I took 12 weeks of ballet class because my resolution was to learn something new, which honestly, I would recommend that as a resolution, especially if you live in a really long, dark, cold winter place like I do in Chicago, because when you pretty much live in darkness because you wake up and it's, you know, it's light while you're at work and it's dark by like 4 p.m. before you get off work. So like the only time you're outside is when it's dark. If it's like that for like 4 or 5 months and you can't get out of there on a regular basis, then doing some sort of goal or whatever to kind of help pass the time actually really helps. So I used to say like, okay, each winter I'm going to learn something. And 1 year, I got a Groupon for 12 weeks ballet class. It was adult ballet class. So if you're imagining me with a bunch of five-year-olds, well, funny, that was not the reality. It was with adults, yet not less embarrassing when you fall down when trying to do a pirouette, which I did. And let me tell you, falling on your ass in the middle of class in front of an entire wall of mirrors, in front of everyone, and then seeing how red your face is as you're staring at it after you stand up, is humiliating. But anyway, it also, so am I now an expert ballet dancer? No, but did I learn some of it? I did. And you know what? It really made me actually appreciate ballet so much more. Like when I go to the ballet now, which I'm very lucky to have a husband that actually enjoys the ballet and likes to go with me. But when we go to the ballet and I see them dance, I have this whole new appreciation for ballet after only doing it for 12 weeks and being like, holy cow, like those are real athletes there. I mean, just try, you know what? If you're listening to this and you're, you know, not driving or moving around, just try standing still and lifting one of your legs up in any direction so that it is perpendicular to the ground at like hip level. Just try it and then try holding that. Let me tell you, you're gonna, and then watch a ballet dancer, like a professional ballet dancer do it. And they make it look so easy. And I guarantee you, if you can do it at all, it's like a second. So just try that. And that will give you just a glimpse of just the badassness that is ballet. Anyway, I have to say, I do love resolutions. I love goals, and I'm pretty good at keeping a pretty good success rate as well, because I believe in the power of keeping resolutions. Is if you're going to do it, you have to keep them simple and realistic. I think a big part of the reason we fail at keeping our resolutions is because we hold ourselves accountable to these like unrealistic expectations. Because resolutions, like any change in life, whether you want to call it a resolution or not, is less about the final outcome and more about the journey and the small wins along the way. I mean, think about it in terms of Peloton badges, right? If you have a Peloton, or probably a lot of workout things have this, but they give you badges for like everything. Like you did 10 classes, great, badge. You did 2 days in a row, badge. You get some high fives from like your people riding with you. Like there's literally badges. You took a Beyonce class from the artist series, badge. And it's really to celebrate the small wins. And let me tell you, it works. It's great because it makes you feel good and you stay motivated. Because think about it. If you're currently eating fast food once a week and your cupboard is filled with prepackaged meals, what do you think the success rate of switching to an all organic keto diet is going to be? Or what if you've been smoking for 15 years? You think once January 1st hits that all of a sudden you're going to put down that pack and never touch another cigarette again? Let me tell you from experience, that's not going to happen. Or if you've never run a mile, like even 1 mile, do you think your first goal or resolution should be running a marathon? And let me just say on that front, so from someone that ran my first marathon in 2019, and unfortunately, thank you, COVID, my only so far, but I am currently scheduled to run the 2022 Chicago Marathon. But from someone that has run one, there is nothing more frustrating than when you start the race, you're within mile one and there are people walking. Like, I'm sorry. And maybe this is a little tough love and maybe I'm going to sound like an asshole right now, but like, what are you doing? What are you doing that you are running a 26.2 mile race? That is not easy. It takes months of training. Like when you train for a marathon, you probably run a half marathon because you never run the full length of the marathon before the race, but you probably run a half marathon like 20 times, like just within training. So how is it possible that you are at that starting line and you can't even run a mile? Like there's nothing wrong with not being able to run a mile. Some people have never run a mile, and that is okay. That's where you are at in your fitness journey. But if you are at a marathon, you should be able to run a mile. I'm sorry. Like, you are not ready for this race if you can't run a mile. I don't even know if it's healthy or safe for you to be running this race. And it's really annoying to have to run around people who somehow are in a starting place ahead of you, like when they can't even run a mile, like, or those people should be in the very last starting so that no one has to run around them. But like, seriously, why are you there? Like, maybe start with a shorter race and work your way up. There is no shame in that game. But like, that's like showing up to the Olympics when you've only done like a high school track meet like once. Like, it's just not, you're not ready. You're not ready. Anyway, sorry. That was a tangent because I'm about to start early marathon training because I need to get my back into place before I can like start real training. But just something that every race that I run, it's like a pet peeve of mine. Anyway, don't get me wrong. All of these things are great goals, like exercising more, eating right, starting to run, all of these things. Great. Stop smoking. And they're all achievable. They're all achievable. But with time, cutting down the goal into smaller achievements is much more achievable and it's sustainable. So like maybe instead of switching to the keto diet right off the bat, maybe just cut down on the fast food at first. Then maybe from there, once you have that going, then maybe you switch to like one meal a day as something fresh and not prepackaged. Or maybe instead of quitting smoking cold turkey, which let's be honest, if you're a smoker and you've ever tried to quit cold turkey, you know that this isn't going to work. So maybe you just start by reducing your smoking by like a pack a week. Or maybe you just stop smoking during like work hours, even though, I do realize it's one of the hardest times to quit smoking. Or maybe instead of having a marathon be your first race, just start with a 5K and then you work to a 10K and you work your way up. This may sound like you're settling or maybe you're lowering the bar, but I challenge you to think about it differently. Maybe you think about it as climbing the ladder. Like you just make the first ring on the ladder something that you can reach. And then as you climb, you gain confidence to keep climbing. Because the reality is that some of our lofty resolutions are only achievable if we stick with them for a longer period of time. The real challenge is keeping up the motivation to continue to work towards that goal. And creating a plan that is very difficult from the start is really just setting yourself up for failure. What I find interesting is that resolutions are goals we set for ourselves. Like we have 100% control over these. We control what they are and the plan on how to get there. Yet we continue to create paths that almost promise failure. Like, why is that? Is that because we're impatient? Is it because we're lazy? I don't think it's because we're lazy, because you're setting goals for yourself. A lazy person does not set goals, so you're not lazy. I think maybe we're just so programmed to like these quick fixes that we want to see like quick results with the least amount of effort. Why? And I'm sorry, but like as a marketer, I think that we play a role in this. Like we sell that. We sell that like if you just take this diet pill, like you'll lose 10 pounds and you don't need to change anything. If you just, you know, use this point system, then everything will be fine. Or if you just order these pre-packaged but healthy meals get delivered to your door, you're going to lose weight. Okay, but then what happens when all of those things run out? What happens when you stop taking the diet pills, when you stop doing that juice cleanse, when you stop ordering these overpriced, you know, healthy meals getting delivered to your door every day so you don't have to think for yourselves on how to cook a healthy meal? Like what happens when those goes away? Well, you lose all the progress you made. It's short-lived. And then you just buy again. It's a vicious circle. You know, when you think about diet pills, cosmetic surgery, juice cleanses, all of those spike at the beginning of the year. So people have the intention. They think that they're taking the first step. And then of course they fall off because when they stop trying to rely on those things, they haven't built the foundation to continue and to be successful. So let's put this into practice and we can use one of my resolutions as an exercise. And yes, I have more than one resolution, although I'm trying to take my own advice this year and cut it down so I don't have too many because I get a little overzealous. So this year, one resolution that I have is to improve my Espanol. So I've been with Christian for over 10 years and his family's first language is Spanish. So when we spend time together, Spanish is the language being spoken 98% of the time. And it's 98% of the time, because the other 2% is because they're having to say something in English because I don't understand what they're saying for the first two times. And so the third time they try to say it in English. So, but most of it is Spanish. And if I was better, it would be 100%, not 98. And I'm pretty good at understanding the conversation in general. Like I get the gist, I get what they're talking about. But I struggle expressing myself, and sometimes I struggle contributing in language. And the more time we spend together, like the physical within one sitting, the more time, the more I struggle, because even understanding what they're saying, because honestly, my brain is just exhausted, or I've had a lot of wine. But your brain gets tired from having to constantly translate between languages back and forth. Like, I'm obviously not bilingual, so I have to translate what I'm thinking in English to Spanish to say it, and then listen to what they're saying in Spanish, and then physically translate it into what I would understand in English. And I have to do that constantly. So when you're hanging out for like hours on end, like after spending the holidays with Christian's family and being with them all the time, I realized that if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this man that I love and his family, which are amazing, by the way, then I want to be able to communicate with them better. And, you know, I want to be able to understand everything that they're saying and just really be more present. I have really good relationships with them I have built over the years. But at some point, if there is a barrier to communication, your relationships can only grow so much. Plus, if we're going to try to start a family one day, it is actually really important to me that our child is bilingual so that they can have a very close relationship with all of their relatives. And then what? Like, I'm going to be the only one that can't understand my own child? Oh, hell no. Because if this kid's going to be anything like me, I want to know exactly what that kid's saying all the time. Like, not putting it past me just because they're speaking Spanish, okay? But learning another language at almost 40 is no small feat. I'm sorry, but like, it is not like when we were kids. Our brains do not pick up language like when we were kids. And learning a language takes real commitment and consistency, which sometimes it can be hard as we search for dedicated times to ourselves. I mean, sometimes I think about how America is like one of the only countries that we only speak one singular language. Like, if you go anywhere else in the world, they speak like 2, 3, 4, 5 plus languages. Like, it is a normal thing to speak multiple languages. But here we're like English. Like, how boring. Like, I wish that I would have started this journey earlier. So if I'm going to be successful, listen, I got to start small. Okay. So here's the plan. First, I got some tools. So I downloaded Duolingo, which is a mobile app that turns learning a language into kind of like a game. And then I purchased 2 books, which is Learning Spanish for Dummies, which I'm not an idiot, but supposedly has really good reviews, and it's like 4 books in 1. And listen, girl loves a value. Okay. And then there's a middle school, high school Spanish workbook, because I'm a dork and I actually enjoy workbooks and they help me learn. So yeah, whatever, it will work. Second, I need to set aside time to learn and to practice. So I'm going to start with 30 minutes a day. And considering how much time I spend on TikTok, I feel like this is doable. I need to switch off between hitting up the books and doing the mobile app to kind of keep things interesting, but I feel like I can make 30 minutes a day work. Third, I want to start just incorporating it in my daily life more. Like, for example, maybe out of my Netflix shows, which I definitely watch enough of, maybe one of those I start watching a Spanish program and I have English subtitles, so I can just start hearing and seeing it kind of, you know, more frequently. Plus, I will say that there's some great Spanish content. So this shouldn't be, you know, that painful. Lastly, I honestly just really need to get over my insecurity and tap into Spanish speakers that I have around me. Like, I am very lucky in the fact that I am around Spanish speakers every day. Like, I live with one. I see his family all the time. Most people don't have that when they're learning a language. Like, I need to take more advantage of that. And that means that I have opportunities every day to practice if I just get over being insecure that I'm going to screw up or sound like an idiot. Because the best way to learn is to practice. Plus, I will say Christian's mom is trying to get better at English. So maybe I should just set up time with her on a regular basis where we can talk Spanish for half of the call and then English for the second half. And it can kind of be like a win-win. You'll also notice that my goal is not to be fluent in Spanish by the end of the year. That is not realistic. I mean, if that happens, awesome. But like, let's be real. That's probably not going to happen. It's just to improve. And I'm sure this goal is going to remain for years to come. But my goal for 2022 is to at least start setting up habits that can help me eventually get there. And I'm trying to fit it into my current lifestyle so I'll actually stick with it. And I'm not putting the added pressure on myself to be perfect. So now you try it. What is your resolution for 2022? And how can you break that down to make it achievable? New year, new you. I say go ahead and make some resolutions, but not too many. Then make a plan that is achievable. So start smaller at first. You can always adjust throughout the year if things are going well or if you're struggling, but start somewhere. The goal is to be proud of the progress you've made by the end of the year. Progress is the achievement. Can you think of anything in your life that you're really proud of that did not take effort? Seriously, think about it. I'm not saying that we haven't enjoyed moments and that brought joy that we didn't have to put a lot of effort in, but proud? The feeling of proudness doesn't come for free. Real achievement takes work and discipline and commitment. So set your resolutions and your plan and just take it one day at a time. If you fall off track, pick it back up and keep trying. As long as you keep trying, you can never truly fail, whether it's your New Year's resolution or any change you want to make. And as a side note, you also don't need to wait for New Year's to make a goal. If you haven't made one yet, it's not too late. Resolutions can happen anytime. So what are you waiting for? Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you're feeling a tad more empowered to make a positive change starting today. If you liked this episode and you want to hear more, please subscribe, like, and share. And don't forget to leave a review, only positive ones, so others know to listen too. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, or subscribe to the transcript on my almostmidlifecrisis.com. And new for 2022, check out my YouTube channel. Until next time.